Phone lines now. NHL Network. Mike Kelly joins us on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
What's up, fellas? I'm doing well. How are you?
We're good, thanks. I want to start this hit by playing audio from our good buddy Elliot Friedman on This Morning with the Fan 590 in Toronto, talking about how the Lightning may have out-islandered the Islanders. So we'll play the audio. We'll get you a chance to listen, and then we'll get your thoughts on the other side. Dom, take it away.
I just think this is such, like, the difference between Pittsburgh, Boston, and Tampa, it's big. It's really big. This Tampa team is so good, and they're playing in some ways the Islanders' own game against them, and they're proving they're very good at it.
Curious to get your thoughts, because these have been rather low-scoring affairs, and I really noticed last night that it took so much effort and so much patience from the Islanders just to generate any sort of scoring chance.
Yep, for sure. You know what? I don't know. I don't know that I'd say it's the Lightning or out Islandering the Islanders.
Yes, gotcha.
Try to get that one out of my mouth. Because I don't know that that gives enough credit to Tampa Bay and what they are and what they're capable of being. I think, you know, Tampa, look, they can score the lights out. They've got a power play that's 40%, superstars up and down the lineup at every position, goaltender, defense, forward. I think it's maybe a little bit, I think sometimes maybe people just look at this team as, oh, they're a superstar team, they can shoot the lights out, and without appreciating how well coached they are and how well they can, you know, play in a low scoring game and do things that the Islanders have been known to do. So, you know, I get where Elliot's coming from. I wouldn't disagree with him, but I do think that Tampa's very capable of playing this way and being successful. I look at the last couple of games, which obviously they've won after dropping the first one. And, you know, you want to talk to Elliot's point about what Tampa's done well that the Islanders are kind of known for. Tampa's a great forechecking team. We know New York is. They like to dump pucks in hard on the walls, create chances. Tampa has outchanced the Islanders 10-1 off the forecheck in the last two games. The grade A chances. So this is using our expected goals model at SportLogic with a baseline for what qualifies as a grade A chance. It's 7-1 for Tampa Bay in the last two games. So yes, the Lightning have flipped the switch. They've been really good defensively. They're kind of patiently waiting for their chances without sacrificing defensively, playing a really smart, sound game. That's what the Islanders are known for, and they've pushed New York out of its game a little bit in the last couple, which
I believe we have lost Michael.
Lost Mike there?
Yeah, you can try and get him back. That is Mike Kelly from SportLogic and, of course, NHL Network here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 630. I'll tell you what I'm going to ask Mike next, because after Game 1, in which everyone said, wow, the Islanders really asserted their style of play on the Lightning. I was very curious that you never get anything out of post-game pressers, but I did notice Alex Killorn kind of gave a nod as to what adjustments they needed. They put it this way. Killorn and Cooper seemed very confident that they knew what to do, and they talked about how passive the Islanders were on defense, right? Like, they give you the blue line. And now, Mike, you know, kind of astutely pointed out here, in the last two games, Tampa Bay's really asserted their dominance and got that forecheck going. Mike, you with us here?
Yeah.
Okay. The changes we were just talking about, I don't know if you caught the whole preamble, but the things that the Tampa Bay Lightning have done differently after that Game 1 defeat over the last two games, there's got to be a correlation between things that they've done differently and establishing that forecheck and the chances off it that you alluded to.
Absolutely. And in the first game, for the first time in the playoffs, Tampa Bay did not generate a single scoring chance off the rush.
Right.
Rush chances were 9-0 Islanders. Matt Barzal scored off the rush. They win the hockey game. So what do you do when you're going up against a defensively sound team like the Islanders that can jam you up in the neutral zone and not give you any room to operate? Well, you start trying to stretch the ice vertically, and that's what Tampa Bay did. So their stretch passes basically doubled in Game 2. They utilize the stretch pass a lot more. Number one, to try to get behind the Islanders' defense when you can at the far blue line. Number two, to chip pucks in and get in on the forecheck with these stretch passes and have speed going into the offensive zone and chasing the puck. But what this does is it creates separation between the Islanders' defense and their forwards. So if right. the Islanders know that you're making these stretch passes, they've got to hang back their defense at the blue line. You create more of a gap between the forwards and the D in the neutral zone. It gives you a little bit more space. That's what Tampa Bay did really well in game two. And look, John Cooper, Barry Trotz, two elite coaches. They know each other well. They're friends. You're going to see these kind of adjustments going back and forth game by game. One of the reasons why I love watching these teams play each other.
Yeah, John Cooper, I sometimes wonder if he gets enough respect. I don't think he's ever won Coach of the Year, but I remember a comment he made after game one when everyone, including us, was throwing roses at the Islanders for their forecheck and making Tampa Bay look a little bit confused or flustered. And then John Cooper said, yeah, we just, you know, I think our compete was there. Our effort was there. There's just a couple of things. Our minds weren't maybe there. And so what we've got to do is we got to look at what the Islanders do, and then we got to pick it apart. And they've won the next two games. And, you know, so we were talking so much about how good a coach Barry Trotz was. We had a poll question here. Is Barry Trotz the best coach in the NHL? And I think 2/3 of people voted for yes. And sometimes I think we forget about John Cooper, or maybe we don't give him enough credit because we know the star power in Tampa Bay. But what do you think it is that John Cooper does so well, if you had to pick one or two things?
Well, you know, I think you bring up a good point about the star power. You know what's really hard, and I've talked to some coaches about exactly this. I've talked to coaches on teams that have won. I've talked to coaches on teams that couldn't get there with their group. Getting star players to buy into a certain way of playing that you know is necessary to be successful as you go on in the playoffs. That's hard, and not everybody can do it. And John Cooper did it. They got swept by the Columbus Blue Jackets a couple of years ago after winning 60-plus games in the regular season. Columbus counterattacked them really well. They forced Tampa into mistakes, counterpunch, boom up the ice, and score in transition. You go into the next year where Tampa wins the Stanley Cup, they got a buy-in from every player on that team. If you don't have a play, you dump a puck, you give it up to get it back, you work hard to get it back, you play responsible. And that's hard. And John Cooper was able to do it. So, yeah, I think he's one of the best coaches in the NHL. There's no question.
Is that type of hockey, we were discussing this the other day, does that type of hockey, when, you know, it can be a little bit grinding and there's a lot of checking, does it get almost a bad name from a certain segment of hockey fans that just want to see, like, run and gun, attacking hockey, never dump-ins, carry the puck in? And you know, I look at the Stanley Cup winners, especially the last, you know, 3 years, Washington was what really learned how to check and play that heavy style. They were coached by Barry Trotz. The St. Louis Blues, man, that was a big, heavy team. Craig Berube, the coach there. And then you just mentioned Tampa Bay, who can play run and gun, but it's the lessons maybe they learned against Columbus and how to succeed in these tight checking games that do win Stanley Cups.
Yeah, you know, I've done a fair amount of research looking back the last few years and just, you know, commonality between the teams that have been successful in the playoffs. It can give you some insight. You know, I try not to put too much into small samples like the playoffs, but it's interesting anyways. And one of the biggest things I find is you have to be able to manage the puck. And Barry Trotz talks about this all the time, puck management. And that means being responsible with it, not turning it over in critical areas at critical times, understanding what the score of the game is. You know what, one team that I think struggles with this is Toronto. And I still don't think they've gotten it yet. And I go back to game 7 against Montreal, and you're watching Mitch Marner trying to stick handle through three players at the offensive blue line. And the puck gets turned over, goes the other way. Brendan Gallagher scores 1-0 Montreal. Those are the kind of mistakes you make.
Yeah, the Galchenyuk turnover was a killer for them, too. I mean, in overtime, like, that just can't happen. And you
game one of that series that Montreal won, Joe Thornton had two turnovers inside the offensive blue line between the top of the circle and the blue line.
Well, the Canucks, they set an NHL record for horrendous turnovers this season? Sure. They set it in the first 10 games, too. It was a pretty incredible run. But, yeah, I mean, Travis Green was pulling his hair out with the issues of puck management earlier in the season, and that's something that absolutely has to improve for the Canucks. Mike, we're run out of time. Always love having you on the show. Always love chatting with you about hockey. Hope you enjoy the rest of the playoffs, and maybe we'll chat again soon.
All right, guys. Sounds great. Thanks for having me.